Welcome. We resume our study of Chapter 27, The Gnostic Being. Sri Aurobindo was writing about this push to perfection that is innate in this integralizing effort to evolve a new consciousness in which knowledge and power become one in play and expression. And he continues this theme in the paragraphs to come. And we'll see as we go through again that as he's speaking about the creation here of a Gnostic life and a Gnostic being living that life, that it is the power of the supramental consciousness in that Gnostic being which determines all the verities which occupy its existence here. So, that which expresses itself as the supramental in the Gnostic being finds ample coverage here. Sat-Chit-Ananda. This first section, in a sense, explaining the greater way of being, deals with Sat as expressed in the Gnostic life. The supramental transformation, the supramental evolution, must carry with it a lifting of mind, life, and body out of themselves into a greater way of being, in which yet their own ways and powers would be not suppressed or abolished, but perfected and fulfilled by the self-exceeding. For in the ignorance, all paths are the paths of the spirit seeking for itself blindly or with a growing light. The Gnostic being and life would be the spirit's self-discovery and its seeing and reaching of the aims of all these paths, but in the greater way of its own revealed and conscious truth of being. Mind seeks for light, for knowledge, for knowledge of the one truth basing all, an essential truth of self and things, but also of all truth of diversity of that oneness, all its detail, circumstance, manifold way of action, form, law of movement and happening, various manifestation in creation. For thinking mind, the joy of existence is discovery and the penetration of the mystery of creation that comes with knowledge. This the Gnostic change will fulfill in an ample measure, but it will give it a new character. It will act not by the discovery of the unknown, but by the bringing out of the known. All will be the finding of the self, by the self, in the self. These are put in quotes. It's nearly a quotation from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 20, shloka 20. In English, seeing the self by the self, satisfied in the self. Atmana atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. For the self of the Gnostic being will not be the mental ego, but the spirit that is one in all. He will see the world as a universe of the spirit. The finding of the one truth underlying all things will be the identical discovering identity and identical truth everywhere, and discovering, too, the power and workings and relations of that identity. This again harkens back to the opening of the Isha Upanishad. The revelation of the detail, the circumstance, the abundant ways and forms of the manifestation will be the unveiling of the endless opulence of the truths of that identity, its forms and powers of self, its curious manifoldness and multiplicity of form, bringing out infinitely its oneness. This knowledge will proceed by identification with all, by entering into all, by a contact bringing with it a leap of self-discovery and a flame of recognition, a greater and surer intuition of truth than the mind can reach. There will be an intuition, too, of the means of embodying and utilizing the truth seen, an operative intuition of its dynamic processes, a direct, intimate awareness guiding the life and the physical senses and every step of their action and service to the spirit when they have to be called in as instruments for the effectuation of process in life and matter. So you see here a strong emphasis on the dynamic expression based on the knowledge of oneness, not a passive recognition of the one everywhere, but entering into, embracing, influencing, uplifting. A replacement of intellectual seeking by supramental identity and Gnostic intuition of the contents of the identity, an omnipresence of spirit with its light penetrating the whole process of knowledge and all its use, so that there is an integration between the knower, knowledge, and the thing known, between the operating consciousness, the instrumentation, and the thing done, while the single self watches over the whole integrated movement and fulfills itself intimately in it, making it a flawless unit of self-effectuation, will be the character of each Gnostic movement of knowledge and action of knowledge. So we see here an expression of chit, and this is the actual revealing action, which is the power of the chit consciousness. Mind, observing and reasoning, labors to detach itself and see objectively and truly what it has to know. It tries to know it as not self, independent, other reality, not affected by process of personal thinking or by any presence of self. The Gnostic consciousness will at once intimately and exactly know its object by a comprehending and penetrating identification with it. We may as well pause and recognize it here again. He's speaking about knowledge by identity, which appears again and again as the highest possibility of knowledge, to know because you are that. And he spoke about this first in chapter 8, way back in book 1, in the methods of Vedantic knowledge, and then later, of course, in the origin and remedy of falsehood, etc. So this idea that real knowledge comes by identity, that self identified with other self means there is no difference in self. All is part of one self. And, again, comprehending and penetrating. So these are aspects of the supramental consciousness, the comprehensive aspect and the apprehending aspect, the comprehensive which contains all within it, and the penetrating which can lean out minutely into all variety and find its essential own being in that and identifying with it, know the contents of that, because it no longer is an object, it too becomes part of the great subject, the one who sees. It will overpass what it has to know, but it will include it in itself. It will know the object as part of itself, as it might know any part or movements of its own being, without any narrowing of itself by the identification, or snaring of its thought in it so as to be bound or limited in knowledge. So it leans always on its universality and on its transcendence. So it cannot get lost in the minute, because it remains these greater terms of being. There will be the intimacy, accuracy, fullness of a direct internal knowledge, but not that misleading by personal mind by which we constantly err, because the consciousness will be that of a universal and not a restricted and ego-bound person. It will proceed towards all knowledge, not setting truth against truth to see which will stand and survive, but completing truth by truth in the light of the one truth of which all are the aspects. This carries us all the way back to the beginning of the chapter where he was citing from the Rig Veda, this one from Rig Veda, Mandala 5, Ritena Ritam Dharanam. By the truth they hold the truth that holds all. This an invocation to Agni. That invocation to Agni, an incitement for the Agni in us, the psychic spark, to come forward and fulfill itself in this cosmic drama. So let's read that phrase again. Completing truth by truth in the light of the one truth of which all are the aspects. All idea and vision and perception will have this character of an inner seeing, an intimate extended self-perception, a large self-integrating knowledge, an indivisible whole working itself out by light acting upon light in a self-executing harmony of truth being. This is no longer lead me from the darkness to the light. This is lead me from light to greater light. There will be an unfolding, not as a delivery of light out of darkness, but as a delivery of light out of itself. For if an evolving supramental consciousness holds back part of its contents of self-awareness behind in itself, it does this not as a step or by an act of ignorance, but as the movement of a deliberate bringing out of its timeless knowledge into a process of time manifestation. A self-illumination, a revelation of light out of light, will be the method of cognition of this evolutionary supramental nature. So it's a graduation through stages of the revelation of light, of knowledge, never a losing by ignoring a greater self, enclosing oneself in a period or a being of darkness, such as we get when we form the cosmos and establish an originating ignorance from which then all evolves. No, this will be light leading to greater light. As mind seeks for light, for the discovery of knowledge and for mastery by knowledge, so life seeks for the development of its own force and for mastery by force. Its quest is for growth, power, conquest, possession, satisfaction, creation, joy, love, beauty. Its joy of existence is in a constant self-expression, development, diverse manifoldness of action, creation, enjoyment, an abundant and strong intensity of itself and its power. The Gnostic evolution will lift that to its highest and fullest expression, but it will not act for the power, satisfaction, enjoyment of the mental or vital ego, for its narrow possession of itself and its eager, ambitious grasp on others and on things, or for its greater self-affirmation and magnified embodiment. For in that way, no spiritual fullness and perfection can come. The Gnostic life will exist and act for the divine in itself and in the world, for the divine in all. The increasing possession of the individual being and the world by the divine presence, light, power, love, delight, beauty, will be the sense of life to the Gnostic being. So now we've entered into the Ananda aspect. In the more and more perfect satisfaction of that growing manifestation will be the individual satisfaction. So it is this Anandic self in the living context of the whole. His power will be the instrumentation of the power of supernature for bringing in and extending that greater life and nature. Whatever conquest and adventure will be there will be for that only, and not for the reign of any individual or collective ego. Love will be for him the contact, meeting, union of self with self, of spirit with spirit, a unification of being, of power and joy and intimacy and closeness of soul to soul, of the one to the one, a joy of identity and the consequences of a diverse identity. It is this joy of an intimate, self-revealing diversity of the one, the multitudinous union of the one, and a happy interaction in the identity that will be for him the full revealed sense of life. This joy of oneness, all in the self, Atmani Tushyati. Creation, aesthetic or dynamic, mental creation, life creation, material creation, will have for him the same sense. It will be the creation of significant forms of the eternal force, light, beauty, reality. The truth, the beauty and truth of its forms and bodies, the beauty and truth of its powers and qualities, the beauty and truth of its spirit, its formless beauty of self and essence. This idea of the significant form, which first found publication in 1914 in Clive Bell's famous book, Art, appears again and again. It's become inescapable to us now because a form that signifies, that has meaning, that has beautiful shape, that is what is the soul of art. And this idea of a cosmos experienceable to the awakened soul as a revelation of beauty everywhere. This is that famous Trika philosophy that originated over 1,000 years ago, let's say around 950 CE in Kashmir, best articulated by Abhinavagupta. Again, I urge you to explore it. It's worth the adventure. As a consequence of the total change and reversal of consciousness, establishing a new relation of spirit with mind and life and matter, and a new significance and perfection in the relation, there will be a reversal, a perfecting new significance also of the relations between the spirit and the body it inhabits. So he's talked about the change that the Gnostic life and mind will experience. Now he talks about the being of the body. In our present way of living, the soul expresses itself as best it can, or as badly as it must, through the mind and the vitality, or more often, allows the mind and the vitality to act with its support. The body is the instrument of this action. But the body, even in obeying, limits and determines the mind's and the life's self-expression by the limited possibilities and acquired character of its own physical instrumentation. It has, besides, a law of its own action, a movement and will or force or urge of movement of its own subconscious or half-emerged conscious power of being, which they can only partially, and even in that part, more by an indirect than by a direct, or if direct, then more by a subconscious than a willed and conscious action, influence or alter. Briefly, the body restricts our general advance by the depth of its moorings. For the law of the body arises from the subconscient or inconscient. Remember how the evolution commences from the superconscient hiding itself in the inconscient, and then the arisal from that of an ignorant world expressed first as matter, then as life, then as mind, but none of them having the full possession of its inherent secret divinity. For the law of the body arises from the subconscient or inconscient. But in the Gnostic being, the subconscient will have become conscious and subject to the supramental control, penetrated with its light and action. The basis of inconscience, with its obscurity and ambiguity, its obstruction or tardy responses, will have been transformed into a lower or supporting superconscience by the supramental emergence. So he is not describing here the process that leads to the acquisition of this supramental control of the body, but he's saying that when the supramental is there, this will have been the result obtained. Already, even in the realized higher mind being and in the intuitive and overmind being, the body will have become sufficiently conscious to respond to the influence of the idea and the will force so that the action of mind on the physical parts, which is rudimentary, chaotic, and mostly involuntary in us, will have developed a considerable potency. But in the supramental being, it is the consciousness with the real idea in it which will govern everything. So if you're able to link yourself to HC and Co., Higher Consciousness and Company, and live in that, then expressive of the idea and the will force, you'll have an impact on the being. Sri Aurobindo, from the teens of the century, could feel the impact of that higher consciousness on his body as it made regular changes in the way that it functioned. So he could see what the effect was, and that was when he was not reaching towards the supramental consciousness. But if the supramental is established, then obviously what we call Ritta Chit, the conscious force of the dynamic principle of truth, has play over that which it contains, Because there's no longer the body containing the consciousness, but the consciousness containing the body, and so has power to express itself through that. This real idea is a truth perception which is self-effective. What it sees, it does. For it is the idea and will of the Spirit in direct action and originates a movement of the substance of being which must inevitably effectuate itself in state and act of being. It is this dynamic, irresistible spiritual realism of the truth consciousness in the highest degree of itself that will have here grown conscient and consciously competent in the evolved Gnostic being. It will not act as now, veiled in an apparent inconscience and self-limited by law of mechanism, but as the sovereign reality in self-effectuating action. It is this that will rule the existence with an entire knowledge and power and include in its rule the functioning and action of the body. The body will be turned by the power of the spiritual consciousness into a true and fit and perfectly responsive instrument of the Spirit. So you can see that the advent of this power of the supramental consciousness into the cells, tissues of the body results in a radiant physical transformation. This new relation of the Spirit and the body assumes and makes possible a free acceptance of the whole of material nature in place of a rejection, the drawing back from her, the refusal of all identification or acceptance, which is the first normal necessity of the spiritual consciousness for its liberation, is no longer imperative. So, this consciousness affirms nature, does not cancel, negate, withdraw, is not repulsed by the world. It identifies with it. Yes, to first gain the spiritual consciousness is necessary, which is why there is the abnegation of the world in many spiritual philosophies and approaches to spiritual life at the mental level. But here we have reached the oneness of spirit, and there is no distinction in real being between consciousness in being and consciousness in nature. It is the same being. To cease to be identified with the body, to separate oneself from the body consciousness, is a recognized and necessary step, whether towards spiritual liberation or towards spiritual perfection and mastery over nature. But this redemption, once effected, the descent of the spiritual light and force can invade and take up the body also. And there can be a new liberated and sovereign acceptance of material nature. That is possible indeed only if there is a changed communion of the spirit with matter, a control, a reversal of the present balance of interaction, which allows physical nature to veil the spirit and affirm her own dominance. In the light of a larger knowledge, matter also can be seen to be the Brahman, a self-energy put forth by the Brahman, a form and substance of Brahman. Aware of the secret consciousness within material substance, secure in this larger knowledge, The Gnostic light and power can unite itself with matter so seen and accept it as an instrument of a spiritual manifestation. A certain reverence even for matter and a sacramental attitude in all dealings with it is possible. As in the Gita, the act of the taking of food is spoken of as a material sacrament, a sacrifice, an offering of Brahman to Brahman by Brahman. So also the Gnostic consciousness and sense can view all the operations of spirit with matter. This is, of course, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, the 24th shloka, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavi Brahmagna Brahmanahutam Brahmaevatena Gantavyam Brahmakarma Samadhina, which means the divine is the act of offering. The divine is the substance that is offered. The divine is the fire into which the offering is poured. The divine is the one who offers. The divine is the destination of one who works in communion with the divine. He continues, the spirit has made itself matter in order to place itself there as an instrument for the well-being and joy, yug-akshema, of created beings, for a self-offering of universal physical utility and service. So this is a cosmic service that the divine has undertaken by accepting the material position as support and foundation of the universe. That same divinity that comes awake at the supramental level is there, already present in the body itself, ensconced in all of matter. It is nowhere absent. The Gnostic being, using matter, but using it without material or vital attachment or desire, will feel that he is using the spirit in this form of itself, with its consent and sanction, for its own purpose. He will have that sense in the body. There will be in him a certain respect for physical things, an awareness of the occult consciousness in them, of its dumb will of utility and service, a worship of the divine, the Brahman, in what he uses, a care for the perfect and flawless use of his divine material, for a true rhythm, ordered harmony, beauty in the life of matter, in the utilization of matter. We see this abundantly in the lives of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. The regard that they had for the physical things around them, the majesty, the nobility of their bodies, how they cared with minute attention to detail for all the things within their compass. Not that they felt ownership, but they felt companionship. They knew the reality that was expressed in each form and kept it near. And this too in their great disciples, in Nalinida, in Champaklal, in M.P. Pandit, whom many of us knew best, who had himself a regal bearing. He was averse to ignoble expression. And in the handling of material things, was careful and precise and pulled into a harmonic arrangement around him all the elements of physical nature, so that desk and bookshelf and cupboard and drawer were in perfect order. Not with a sense of obsession, but it was a natural and spontaneous way for him to do it. He learned it from both mother and from Kapali Shastriya. And if he was intolerant of a disturbance of that harmony, it was the reaction of his spiritual being inside that could not condone chaos. As a result of this new relation between the spirit and the body, the Gnostic evolution will effectuate the spiritualization, perfection, and fulfillment of the physical being. It will do for the body as for the mind and life. Apart from the obscurity, frailties, and limitations which this change will overcome, the body consciousness is a patient servant and can be, in its large reserve of possibilities, a potent instrument of the individual life. And it asks for little on its own account. What it craves for is duration, health, strength, physical perfection, bodily happiness, liberation from suffering, ease. These demands are not in themselves unacceptable, mean, or illegitimate, for they render into the terms of matter the perfection of form and substance, rupa, nama, the power and delight which should be the natural outflowing, the expressive manifestation of the spirit. When the Gnostic force can act in the body, these things can be established, for their opposites come from a pressure of external forces on the physical mind, on the nervous and material life, on the body organism, from an ignorance that does not know how to meet these forces or is not able to meet them rightly or with power, and from some obscurity pervading the stuff of the physical consciousness and distorting its responses that reacts to them in a wrong way. A supramental self-acting, self-effectuating awareness and knowledge, replacing this ignorance, will liberate and restore the obscured and spoiled intuitive instincts in the body and enlighten and supplement them with a greater conscious action. This change would institute and maintain a right physical perception of things, a right relation and right reaction to objects and energies, a right rhythm of mind, nerve, and organism. It would bring into the body a higher spiritual power and a greater life force unified with the universal life force and able to draw on it. A luminous harmony with material nature and the vast and calm touch of the eternal repose, which can give to it its diviner strength and ease. Above all, for this is the most needed and fundamental change, it will flood the whole being with the supreme energy of consciousness force, which would meet, assimilate, or harmonize with itself all the forces of existence that surround and press upon the body. This is the Chit Shakti, the aspect of Satchit Ananda, dynamic in all the world, resolving all within appropriate context with an empowered harmony in the Gnostic being. So, wonderful to close there with proper harmonic imprint upon the body. We'll put a bookmark there and we'll resume next week. Here's a section from Book 1, The Book of Beginnings in Savitri, Canto 4, The Secret Knowledge. The master of existence lurks in us and plays at hide-and-seek with his own force. In nature's instrument loiters secret God. The immanent lives in man as in his house. He has made the universe his pastime's field, a vast gymnasium of his works of might. All-knowing, he accepts our darkened state. Divine, wears shapes of animal or man. Eternal, he ascends to fate and time. Immortal, dallies with mortality. The all-conscious ventured into ignorance. The all-blissful bore to be insensible. Incarnate in a world of strife and pain, he puts on joy and sorrow like a robe and drinks experience like a strengthening wine. He whose transcendence rules the pregnant vasts, prescient now dwells in our subliminal depths, a luminous individual power alone. The absolute, the perfect, the alone, has called out of the silence his mute force, where she lay in the featureless and formless hush, guarding from time by her immobile sleep the ineffable puissance of his solitude. The absolute, the perfect, the alone, has entered with his silence into space. He has fashioned these countless persons of one self. He has built a million figures of his power. He lives in all who lived in his vast alone. Space is himself, and time is only he. The absolute, the perfect, the immune, one who is in us as our secret self, our mask of imperfection has assumed. He has made this tenement of flesh his own, his image in the human measure cast, that to his divine measure we might rise. Then, in a figure of divinity, the Maker shall recast us and impose a plan of Godhead on the mortal's mold, lifting our finite minds to his infinite, touching the moment with eternity. This transfiguration is earth's due to heaven. A mutual debt binds man to the supreme. His nature we must put on as he put ours. We are sons of God, and must be even as he. His human portion, we must grow divine. Our life is a paradox, with God for key. Namaste, Jai Ma.